So I want to talk with you for a few minutes about the great reformer, St. Charles Borromeo, a bishop of the Catholic Church. But in order to appreciate him, you have to understand briefly the 16th century. So here's the 16th century in less than 2 minutes. In the year 1517, Martin Luther posted on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, what are called the 95 Theses, points of contention that he had with the Catholic Church that he wanted to be able to address. Things did not go too well in that conversation, and so I think it was in the year 1523 he was excommunicated. Things continue to unfold. We move over to England, and Henry is having some marital issues. It's a complicated story, but he decides to choose to become the head of the church. And in the year 1538, he dissolves all of the monasteries in England, and England has clearly become a Protestant country. So 1517, 1538, it's not until the year 1545 that the church responds by calling the Council of Trent. And the Council of Trent was called to seek to respond to what the Protestant reformers were articulating. And they wanted, in part, to be able to enter into conversation around some of the key issues. One of the challenges with the Council of Trent is it was kind of like a car that had trouble getting started on a cold day. It started, it stopped, it started, it stopped. And indeed, the Council of Trent was first called in 1545, but it wasn't concluded until the year 1563. A long time. Of course, they didn't meet continuously during those years. Enter St. Charles Borromeo, a man of aristocracy. You've maybe heard of the Medici family. That's where he came from. And his uncle became Pope Pius IV. And when he was only 22 years old, Charles was made a cardinal by his uncle Pope, even though he was not yet a priest. At the age of 25, Charles Borromeo was ordained a priest and then made the Bishop of Milan at that same age. He died at the age of 46. But it's because of St. Charles Borromeo that he said to his uncle, Uncle Pope Pius IV, we really should get this council going again. And under his inspiration and his encouragement and how he was the recorder of all of what came out of that last meeting of the Council of Trent as a 25-year-old, the Council of Trent was able to articulate in a coherent way the Catholic response to the Protestant Reformation. And we have St. Charles Borromeo, a man who was in his 20s, who understood that the call of his life was not to live a life of power and influence as part of the Medici family. He was called to a life of humble service. He took to heart the words of Jesus in today's gospel, that those who are willing to humble themselves will truly be exalted. And when he went to Milan after the Council of Trent concluded, he spent the rest of his life tirelessly seeking to bring about reform in his diocese. There was a lot of lackluster Christianity going on there, a lot of priests who were not truly living out the fullness of their vocation, a lot of lay faithful who were, well, maybe not that faithful, I guess kind of going through the motions. And so this man, understanding the gospel imperative to say that we need to live and proclaim, not only by our words, but particularly by our lives, what it is to be followers of Jesus Christ. This is why we remember this remarkable saint today. As is true with all the saints, they have a perspective on life that is not only able to see the immediate situation, but is able to have the 30,000-foot view. Kind of like St. Paul in today's first reading from Romans. I love this part of Romans because here is St. Paul, having talked for the first 8 chapters about Romans, about who Jesus Christ is, what his coming into the world means. And now as one who is a person and a follower of Christ, but also still a Jew, he says, what about my people, the Jews? What's going to happen to them? And there's something remarkable about this text, because what he is able to do is to say that, yes, it's true, there's a rebellion that has happened now, but God is using this in a providential way for good. That is, for the inclusion of the Gentiles. Just how in the 16th century, God used the Protestant Reformation to bring about a renewal in the Catholic Church. And so there's always a way that God is at work doing something that is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. And one of the things that I just want to highlight with you from today's reading from Romans is this beautiful verse. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, meaning that the gospel is going to go out to the whole world, and if their defeat means riches for their Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? So, by their full inclusion, that is Israel coming into the fullness of a relationship with Jesus. Do you know what Paul says right at the end of Romans 11? We don't hear it here. He says, the full inclusion of Israel will mean the resurrection from the dead. The Catholic Church interprets that as the second coming. That Jesus cannot come again, based on the teaching of St. Paul, until Israel is fully included. As to how that will happen, only God knows. But what we're called to do is to be men and women of passion. Men and women who, like St. Charles Borromeo, in the midst of this world, say, I'm going to take the gospel values as the very heart and core and center of my life. And in my day, I'm going to do everything I can to live with a sense of wonder and awe, as St. Paul does in today's reading from Romans. In my day, I'm going to do everything I can to learn the way of true humility, to learn the little and the small way, so that Jesus indeed can exalt us. As you well know, our diocese is just beginning a 4-year plan of pastoral renewal. The church is continually in need of reformation. Just as a garden is continually in need of weeding, and I've got to get the dust bunnies out from under my bed every couple of weeks. This is the nature of life. And may we be inspired by today's saint to say, Lord, I want to be counted as a reformer. I want to be one who is working with you for the proclamation and the extension of your gospel, so that we indeed can be a people who, in the words of today's opening collect, can indeed reflect the life of this great saint. Let me read the collect again. Preserve in the midst of your people, we ask, O Lord, the spirit with which you filled the bishop, St. Charles Borromeo, that your church may be constantly renewed, and by conforming herself to the likeness of Christ, may show his face to the world. That's what matters, to show the face of Jesus Christ to the world. This man who lived to only be 46 was a beautiful representation of this kind of life. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.